Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome today to Life Design with Linda Sachs. And you're listening to me, Linda Sachs. Today, being the last show of summer 2012, halfway through to the year of manifestation 2013, which is right around the bend, I intuitively knew about a week or two ago in speaking with my producer and celebrity numerologist and intuitive, Michelle Arbeau, that it was perfect timing for her to come on and discuss the significance of numbers, money fears, and what's happening to not just each one of us individually, but really just about touching each and every one of us globally as we're going through this shift from capitalism into what's now called the Aquarian Age. So in addressing this topic, it was interesting recently that Michelle and I had a conversation, and she was explaining all the significance to me about what's happening in the planet, on our planet, on a planetary basis. So I'd love to bring Michelle on, because in the half an hour we have in the 30 minutes,
it shoots by and it goes by so fast,
so that she can jump right into the juice of the whole topic. Hi, Michelle, are you there?
I am here. Thank you for having me, Linda. I think this is such a timely topic, and I'm so glad you're doing it.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I couldn't actually wait for this. I was really so looking forward to it myself that I actually have a notebook and a pen, because I know since speak, I'm going to take notes. So really, the first thing that I wanted to do was just ask you, because I know that you have had recently done a program about this, and I'm really going to let you run with this because I know you've got a lot of content, but I just wanted you to start with, I guess, what your little bit of your backstory, what brought you to deciding to do that program so that my listeners, our listeners, can hear how important it is and why you decided to do it.
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of been this whole long journey for me, but really to sum it up, I mean, about a year ago, I literally, you know, sold everything, sold my house, sold pretty much everything I owned, and left with what I could fit in a 5x8 trailer and went across Canada trying to figure out who the heck I was and, you know, all that stuff. But the main thing that really struck me was the money issue. It was, oh my goodness, what have I done? Because, you know, I always prided myself on being that person that wasn't wrapped up in money, that really didn't care about the whole money thing. But when I was sitting there in that driveway on closing day on with my house, I had literally nothing left except for, you know, what I had from selling the house and those kinds of things. But I thought, wow, what have I done? And that was the beginning for me. That was really the beginning about the realizing that money was a big issue for me. And you know, I thought it wasn't, but it really was. And it was a real eye-opener. And so from that point, I went across Canada and really reinvented myself, but did it from a place that wasn't centered around money and doing things that I thought was right. And I think that's where people get caught up with the whole money thing, and that's what's happening globally right now. I think everything that we have, you know, really thought about in terms of success and achievement and all of those things, we're really wrapped up in money, and that's where the shift is happening. That's really what people are really struggling with at this point in time. And I always look at it as, why money? Why, you know, why is it money and not a war or not disease that's global? You know, why is it money? Because it has to be money right now, because that's what the shift is about right now. And, you know, we need to make this shift because all of our society has been built around money. And I don't know how many people listening have actually heard about the 11/11 phenomenon. A lot of people are seeing 11/11, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what does this mean? And I've really come to a lot of great realizations with this whole 11/11 thing as of the past few months, and this really spiraled into this whole abundance and prosperity course, because I think that it really sums up what this point in time right now, this, I mean, the shift is huge and there's a lot of segments to it, but the fact that we're in this financial crisis globally, and we need to go through this, and it is about money. It's not about war or disease or any other things. It's about money, and it has to be. And the reason being is this. the past 100 years in the 1900s, it was all about money, power, greed. It was the nine energy. And, of course, being a numerologist, I'm always looking at things through the numbers. And so every single person that was born in the 1900s had at least a single nine in their date of birth. So it was really that drive to really achieve, and we wanted to get that money, and we wanted to be successful in that way. And nine is that energy that's, you know, it's ambitious, it's idealistic, it's responsible. So everyone had that drive. But now that we're in the 2000s, we're really floundering. People are not understanding what is going on and why we're stalled. I mean, everyone is stalled, and we don't know how to move forward, and we're not able to make the money or the progress or the achievement that we're wanting to do. And no, everyone's confused about why. And the why is because we're moving out of the nine energy and into the two. And two is that number of intuition, sensitivity, cooperation, peace, and harmony. But if you take the nine and add it to two, you get 11. Mm-hmm. And so the Mayan calendar ends on December 21st, 2012, 11-11. I think it's Central Universal Time or whatever it's called, but it's 11-11. And so really the underlying message with the Mayans and what they were trying to say, this new way of life, is moving from that money, power, greed, and the focus on money and achieving through that, you know, materialism, and into the two, which is more of a soulful energy, and it's all about the spiritual. It's about being. It's not about, you know, that saying that they always say, you know, do what you love and the money will follow.
Right.
This is what we're stepping into now, right? But we don't know how to get there quite yet. So there's this bridge that's happening where we need to bridge the gap between how do we drop these old models of money and how to succeed and move into this, okay, let's do it backwards. Let's do what we love and the money will follow. But it's such a fear factor with it.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, all right. So the interesting thing about all that is that I'm listening and talking to a lot of people that are exactly on that plane. And what I'm hearing is big, huge fears of, oh, my God, I'm not going to have enough. I'm going to run out of money. I'm not earning enough money. Money isn't exchanging and turning itself like it used to. I'm going to go broke. I have to start watching my finances. It's not just about those people that are scaling down just because they're spiritually scaling down. There's a lot of fear going on right now. Can you address, I know you're not a coach, but, you know, in an intuitive kind of a way, can we talk a little bit about all that fear? Let's just address, you can address that topic.
Well, I think the fear has always been there, because if you look at the world population, a very small percentage of the population holds the vast majority of the wealth in
yes.
the world, right?
Yes.
And it's
exactly.
not a coincidence. I mean, that is huge. I mean, that's a huge red flag right there. And so
mm-hmm.
what are all these other people doing that they're not wealthy as well?
Exactly.
I mean, abundance is there, right? It's always there, but why can't we all tap into it? Whereas the other, you know, top 1 or 2% that hold it all, why can't we access it? And, so, you know, really for me, I was always one of those people that never really thought it was appropriate to save, you know, RSPs and all of that. It didn't resonate with me, and I still don't really have RSPs or anything like that, and it doesn't faze me. But, you know, you look at those people who save and save and save, and they have RSPs, and they work and work and work until retirement to begin living life, and then they die. You know, there's these stories of these couples that do this, and then one of them dies, and they didn't get to enjoy life. So I think
okay.
there's this real fear factor
okay.
with. But I think what it's wrapped up in is, you know, you look at women, for example. Look at women. Women, these are the statistics on women. We make up 40% of the workforce, yet we only hold 1% of the wealth. That's huge, right?
Oh.
But,
I thought
yeah,
I
so,
oh, my goodness.
So what we do carry, and I think women carry it the strongest, is that I'm not good enough. I mean, look at the whole women's movement, right?
Yeah.
We
mm-hmm.
were so gung-ho to want to be like men and find our equality in the workplace, but we still carried that I'm not good enough, right? And I've struggled with that for many years, you know, that I'm
mm-hmm.
not good enough thing. I remember when I stayed home as a stay-at-home mom with my daughter when she was just firstborn because she was so difficult. I thought, I can't go back to work. But I really struggled with not being the breadwinner or not being the one, because I worked at a major bank and I had a great position. And I just was petrified of being supported by someone else. And so there's such a fear there. And women in particular, I mean, look at what's happening right now. And they say, you know, not to get too airy-fairy or metaphysical, but there is this great influx of feminine energy coming in. And this year, numerically speaking, is a 5 year, right? And 5 is the number of the heart, freedom of expression, but it's also very feminine energy. So the women are kind of taking back that other piece of the pie, that energy that they've kind of put to the wayside with going into the workforce. They kind of put that feminine stuff to the side and wanted to be like the man in the workforce. But now they're reclaiming it and they're becoming more whole. So I think this, we're starting to, you know, make that bridge to let go of some of that fear, but we're in kind of a panic mode. I mean, really, it's kind of this panic that's coming up, you know, I won't have enough. And I think that that's what the shift is about, and moving into the two and just knowing, because two is the number of intuition, right? Just knowing that it's okay, that maybe you might not have the RSPs, or what if I don't have enough for retirement? Well, you know what? You only have now, right? You only have what you can focus on right now. So let's see what you've got to work with right now. So I think that this is what people are struggling with the most, with the fear factor, and especially women.
Yes. And it is so huge, because I hear this topic a lot, and I had just gotten off a call this afternoon that I'm bringing someone on the show who's now a certified money breakthrough coach, and I'm so excited because she'll be on my show September 12th. And we were just sitting and talking about this, and I had said to her, you know, there are huge, big breakthroughs that women need to make. And what she brought up that's really huge, which really clicked on to me, not that I want to go off on a tangent, but this is just for listeners, all of you that are out there, I'm sure you're making the connections already. She talked about family, money, legacy issues. Now, this is huge. When you talk about the bridge, right? Our parents who went out and had to pay the bills, they needed to, you know, succeed. They needed to provide for their children. Chances are a lot of them, in my particular family, my father grew up with holes in his shoes. So there was a huge strive to be able to monetarily provide for his family. Now, it's almost like you're saying we're going to be 60, but I could still see kind of the 180 where we're the product. A lot like us women, men also who are listeners, of these parents who are now elderly, but they're still surviving and living, and they've gone back to almost when they were small children. I mean, I see my dad right now in a money paralysis, in an absolute frozen kind of a fear and a panic. And when we talk about energy, right, and the energy that we each individually hold, and we walk out into the outside world. Never mind walking into a bank. This is a huge, big energy that's out there. And this coach had said to me today, there are going to be a lot of layers, obviously, for a lot of us to go through, to release and to shed. So how long, you know, I know you're not a psychic, but give us a little bit of a heads up, if you can. I don't know what 2013 is, as far as, you know, the number of that particular year. But give us a little bit of heads up, because I finally decided that I really need to address this, and this is the last stuff that I need to go through, me personally, for my professional career development, is to get through a lot of my family money stuff. What about those of us who are going to choose not to even go there? What's up ahead for us?
Well, you know, I totally agree with you, though. I mean, definitely with the whole carrying forward the legacy from your parents. And, you know, you don't want to blame, because that's not something you want to do either. You don't want to say, well, you know, I have money issues because my mom taught me this, or my parents were like this with money. Really, we have to accept responsibility at some point, being an adult. But I do agree with it. I mean, I definitely think that there are learned behaviors and there are learned patterns, because everything, to me, you know, working with the numbers and knowing that everything is energy, there are patterns, and that's what the world is constructed of. So breaking those old patterns or those old cycles. And it's so true because back in, you know, our parents' generation, people did the same career throughout their entire lives. They made money.
Right.
They, you know, accumulated things. But now we're in a society where we're expected to change jobs every 4 to 5 years, and that's the norm. So
right.
how do you do that with
mm-hmm.
you know, changing it up all the time? It's instability. It's insecurity.
Exactly.
It's financial chaos. Right? So
right.
I do agree with you about that. And I think that's what's happening. I think that's why people, and I'm finding so many people are becoming desperate about the
yes.
money. It's like they're really trying to lash out and latch on to people for money and really, you know, just being very clingy about the money. And I think it's because those family patterns that we've carried forward are coming front and center to deal with and to release. And it's just our ego is really having a hard time with that. But in terms of next year,
mm-hmm.
it is going to be a better year. I think that we will hit a point where it's going to be the lowest of the lows. I think there's more to come yet with
mm-hmm.
the financial crisis, but it's meant to be, right? We have to break down all the old patterns and all the old systems.
Mm-hmm.
But next
right.
year is a 6. So this year is a 5, and 5 is really about seeing clearly. So we're starting to see the patterns. We're starting to see things a little bit more clearly. As the year progresses, we'll see even more clearly. But then when we move into 2013, it's a 6. And 6 is about creativity and creative expression. So I think towards the end of next year in particular, it's going to be about rebuilding. So rebuilding the money structures and the money focus and the money views in a very different way. So we'll
okay.
see that coming, but I think there's still a little bit more ugly yet to emerge with this.
Okay.
But definitely I think there's so much we can do in terms of, you know, our personal level. I mean, this is definitely global and it will affect us on a personal level. But just in our own lives, there's so much we can do because really, if you think about, you know, abundance and prosperity and attracting it in your own life, really, it doesn't start until you really step into your personal power, number one, and really own who you're supposed to be. And that's when you step into synchronicity. And synchronicity is like a river, right? And it really takes
okay.
us and really carries us. So when we're in the mode of synchronicity, we are floating down the stream and we're attracting things and they come up and they just come in our face and we don't have to try. And then
right.
this river of synchronicity eventually ends up emptying out into the ocean of abundance, right, if we continue on that path. So this is where we kind of get caught up with the law of attraction, is that we're in the river of synchronicity, but then we end up getting caught up in branches in the river, and we can't get to that ocean of abundance. And it's
awesome. Okay. Okay,
so then
in order for you, yeah, to be able to elaborate and explain, I understand what you're saying, but just for the listeners, to just give an example or two of what you mean in getting caught up in the old patterns that are really going to mess us and trip us up really badly, in order for us not, you know, to try and ease some of the panic and the pain. Because I'm seeing people doing so many different things. I'm seeing people saying, okay, I'm going to start selling off my assets. I'm going to sell my artwork. I'm going to sell my furniture. You know, I'm going to downsize. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And thinking that that's going to be their quick fix and everything's going to be okay.
Yes, and that's the thing. I mean, the branches that I'm talking about, when you get
mm-hmm.
caught up in those branches in the river, it's really about, oh, my God, what if this or what if that or what if this
yeah.
happens, or, you know, it's the fear factor that, and especially those old patterns that keep coming up, you know, well, I need this set amount of money to be able to do this or that or the other thing, and no, you don't.
Right.
And I think that, you know, in my own life, when I have really let go of that and just said, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway, regardless
right.
of if I think I'm going to have enough or, you know, I think I need this level to get to this level, I just let it all go, and then all of a sudden, boom, the abundance is there automatically. And it's only been when I did that that happened. So there is definitely, let go of it all, let go of the fear, let go of the I'm not good enough or that I need this certain level to be at this other level, you know, those kinds of views. That's when it really clicked for me. So it is the backwards mode. It's that, you know, do what you love
yeah.
and the money will follow. It's so true, but how do you let go of the fear? Because, I mean, we're really ingrained with that fear that, you know, if we don't have enough, we're going to starve to death, we won't have a place to live, we're going to be homeless,
exactly.
those kinds of things.
Panic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and it's utter chaos right now. It really
yeah.
is.
Yes.
And And there's another side to this that I wanted to get to as well, because I think it's so important. And, you know, my book, my upcoming book, is all about this. And I think that this is kind of like the missing key to the law of attraction. Because we, you know, we've been told to death about how to do the law of attraction, and we all know how to do it. I mean, we know how to envision this house that we want, or this career that we want, or whatever it is that we want. But then we go about our daily lives and say, you know, oh my God, what if this, or the problem is, or yeah, but, or I'm not really at that level like that other person,
right.
Or the words that we're using on a daily basis is really counteracting. So it's really, it's about energy, right? I mean, definitely the energy that we hold, and it's not, and that's, I think that's where people get caught up, you know, 100% is with the law of attraction, is that we can imagine it, we can feel it, we can, you know, say confidently we're going to have this, but there's always that piece of us that is still doubting, and one of those doubt-filled pieces is the words that we use every day. I remember distinctly about 5 years ago, I had a client who was a man, and every other word or every other sentence that he used included the word, the problem is. And, you know, he was really using that to death. And these are the kinds of things that I see all the time with people. You know, they think that they've got the law of attraction down pat and that they're attracting, you know, what they want in their life and it's going to come. But then they say, well, you know, the problem is, and then the next sentence is the problem is. And these energies, and really words have energies. And, for example, I mean, the word hate is a very strong word, and when we say I hate you to someone, it literally is like we're taking a strip off of them energetically. And Charlie Sheen, for example, was in a personal year of 16/7, it's written like that, and he had a terrible year. I mean, it was just chaotic. And that's the energy that, you know, we're using daily if we say those things, or, you know, I want to do this, but I hate to, you know, picture myself in that situation or whatever. Those words are really affecting, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's affecting you directly with this particular problem or envisioning the house that you want, but it's undermining your entire energetic field. And this is where people are getting caught up with the energies that they're using every day.
I think that that's a great, great topic that you brought up, that in my own self-education and professional education, I've since recently not just learned, but I'm shifting into the application of, like you said, we could keep talking and our words could keep saying all the right stuff, but if deep down in our core there's a thought that we know is at a real unconscious level. It might be something you might even wake up and have dreamt. So you don't hear yourself speaking it. That's where the power is. That's where the power lies. And someone said to me the other day, she said to me, you know, whatever, be very, very careful, like extremely careful, of the words that come out of your mouth. Reiterated exactly what you just said, Michelle, but she took it to the next level by explaining, like you said, so I'll use your application, the word hate, I hate, whatever. That, she said, be very careful. That word has now come out of your mouth, and it has literally gone into the air. And she looked at me and said, do you think it went into thin air and evaporated? She said, no. You can almost literally, in a figurative way, hear and feel your word bouncing from Los Angeles through all the way trickle down to New York City. You know, like you see people throw things up into the air, or a balloon that just flies up into the sky. I mean, those words are out there, and the power of the energy that they hold is really intense. It's strong. And this woman said,
yeah,
be extremely careful of what you say and how your heart feels and what you're not saying. Start paying attention to what you're not saying. So that's why I had said to you, in the breakthrough mentality, as so many people I come across, anyhow, professionally and personally, are walking around, and I get involved in conversations where I feel they're understanding that they need to make changes because maybe they don't see the same dollar amount in their balance in their checking or the savings account, but they're not getting any deeper. They're not really realizing to the depths of what's really going on, that the changes need to be made internally. And that doesn't necessarily mean, okay, higher power, this is what I want, and it's going to fall right into your lap. you know, it doesn't mean that either. But without that, without making all those shifts and really doing the work and really releasing and breaking through, the challenges are just going to be, like, mounting one on top of the other.
You think about the whole global thing that's going on right now. You can almost hear the tremendous amount of chatter that's bouncing around that, you know, oh, my God, what if this, and I won't have enough money. And you know, when you say I won't have enough money, well, you're not going to have enough money. So there's hundreds of thousands of people saying this at any given time. And so
exactly.
That's why the, you know, it's crashing down, down, down. And but it's meant to. I mean, I definitely think it's meant to be, because the old systems have to come down so that we can rebuild in a new way. And I think sometimes the lesson has to be learned the hard way. And with this financial crisis, it has to be rock bottom. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to lose. A lot of people are going to be down and out. But we need to get to that level to be able to see upward again, to be able to, it's almost like hitting the bottom of a well and being able to look up and see the light. And then all of a sudden we can see a new way or a new direction in terms of money. And money is really going to take a back seat in terms of what we're doing globally. And it's going to be an interesting time, because I think the end, you know, the second half of next year is going to be like a reinvention of the whole money platform. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
All right, when you talk about reinvention, can you give us a few little predictions or clues?
I intuitively, and I think we're all intuitive on some level, but I really feel like, you know, based on the numbers that I've been analyzing, especially with some of the major people that control the money in the world, like Goldman Sachs, those kinds of companies,
mm-hmm.
and looking at their names and those kinds of things and analyzing some of the energies around that, it just,
mm-hmm.
to me, it's going to be much less about the fear and leadership and domination and more about back to the older systems about bartering and, you know, having your service or what you're here to do be more important than the money itself, and then the money comes secondary.
Okay. I think that's a really important thing so that listeners don't walk away from the show today, because, you know, if I grew up with that Eastern European parents who were like, ignorance was bliss. It's like, stick your head in the sand, you know, it's a safer place to be. We can't really do that. Like, we're just not being given the option, or the option is not an option that's viable that any of us really want, because it will mean that we will be fearfully living, which I don't know, other than, God forbid, being fatally ill, I don't know what other worst curse there could be for me personally. So, you know, rather than walking around always having to think or hear myself say, well, you know, I really shouldn't go out for this expensive dinner, for example, you know, I would say, oh, this is a real great place. Let's go here. We've actively chosen, and we are regrouping. And we are still in the grateful mode for all, just like you said, you let go of a lot of stuff. Well, I've been on this path, too. I mean, I picked myself up 2 years ago, and now, literally, as I'm on the phone conversation with you, I have two daughters doing similarly what I did 2 years ago. And it's so interesting. Again, downsizing. I think I just have too much stuff. I'm going to sell this. I may want to travel. I may want to go here. You know, if there's I don't want to say a shift, but I can see the movement and I can see the changes. And when you say that there's something that needs to happen, it's happening in so many of us.
Yeah,
all
it really is.
To different
and I have to
degrees.
Just leave you with one of these, this quote that someone said to me once, and it really stuck with me. They said, you know, every time a recession shows up, I mean, he's quite an older gentleman, and he said, you know, it never seems to affect me. And it really stuck with me, because he didn't play into the fear factor. He didn't play into this recession isn't a part of me. It doesn't belong to me, and it's not about me. So it really stuck with me, and I think that that's really the essence of what's going on right now. Do we buy into the whole fear thing and go down with the ship, or do we reinvent a new way, our way?
I think that that's a great closing comment, because there are so many people, aside from even the young and new, fresh entrepreneurs that are now coming educated out of schools with debt, and whatever, that this is going, this is affecting all of us on all levels. Young students who are now in college and working because they just need to pay their bills. These are realities. I think, like you said, if we allow ourselves, listeners, please, who's listening out there, to not play into this fear factor. An interesting little end piece for me as well is, and I've been doing this for a few years, I stopped watching television media news, newsworthy news, okay? And just recently I canceled my Los Angeles Times. And I just decided that energetically, we are all dealing, like we said before, so much, we're dealing with so much change personally. You know, we're walking out into the streets and we're feeling energetically other people's energy. Then on top of that, we keep going up the ladder. We're now watching television and we're going into the media. And we're getting into a panic state where we're, once again, hearing about toxic waste and disaster and radiation. And, you know, we can really be in this cleanup mode like you're talking about, Michelle, right now. We can really be in total fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so
I don't watch the news either.
Okay. Well, no news, everybody, but Michelle's news is good news. So we do have to get off now. I think we've even gone over. This would be a really long topic. Michelle, I want to thank you so much. And everybody, please, no fear, you know, go out there and go about your lives and live your lives on purpose. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you for tuning in. Bye for now.